We move on, and Peter's on the line, and Peter Allam from Allam's Attorneys ready to talk to us this morning. And the topic, as I mentioned, child relocation. Peter, very good morning. Welcome.
Yes, morning to everybody. A very interesting topic. I always say children are not yo-yos. You know, don't push them up and down from yet to there. They need to be looked after properly. So child relocation can mean anything. It can mean somebody moving from East London to Johannesburg. But more importantly is the task of trying to move a child maybe from East London, South Africa to Brisbane, Australia. That there is not as simple as people think it is. In the old days, you had a lot of situations where people just got up and immigrated, didn't tell the other partner or ex-partner or whatever it may be that they're going, and off they go. For that reason, in 2014, the law changed. I think it was 2014 when an act came in that said any relocation of children must go properly through immigration, and the consent of both parties is necessary. In other words, you can't just do it unilaterally anymore. There are now legal requirements to be satisfied, in addition, of course, to the administrative travel requirements laid out by the Department of Home Affairs. So in the first place, you're going to pick up a problem when you go to get a passport for the child or a travel visa for the child. They will pick it up then. So it's not as easy as just getting on the aeroplane and flying out and not telling the other party because you don't like him anymore, or because he doesn't see the child, or because he's not paying maintenance, or, you know, that you've had enough of him, which is what happens, unfortunately, and very sad. Children only have one mother and one father, and they'll always find them at the end when they get to it, you know, when they become major. So be very, very careful in that regard. You know, the reason for it is obviously that one needs to have a look at the psychological impact that it has on the children, the emotional feelings that it will have on the children, the child's physical needs. These are all aspects that are taken into account when relocating. And, you know, if a parent is against relocation, you need to get expert advice and legal representation to sort that out, to get your peace of mind.
Right.
You know, don't just say no. You know, I get so many people that say, oh, my wife told me yesterday she's met somebody in Aussie and she's moving there. You know, I see my child every day. I pick my child up from school and this is all going to go out the window now. Yes, unfortunately, in this day and age, movement between countries is free. Well, when I say free, it's freely done.
Yeah.
So those situations are arising every day. And very sadly in our country, a lot of people are immigrating. So you need to make sure that it's sorted correctly. The impact on the child is obviously tremendous as well. And, you know, a case must be made in favor of relocation by the party, you know, who wants to go. And, of course, the person opposing it would have to have very, very good reasons for it to be denied, if we put it to you that way. You know, where the position arises that, you know, the impact that it has on the child is definitely taken into account, but the courts are not going to come to the rescue of a parent who's unreasonable in that regard. So the court, if you're having a problem and one of the parties is refusing to sign or refusing proper access in that regard or not doing it correctly, yes, you have a right of recourse to the High Court, and the High Court will make a ruling on it. You know, the move may not be to another area in South Africa. It might be necessary for a flight overseas, and it might be to another country, which renders a child physically inaccessible. That's on its own. It's not just a reason, you know, for the denial of the relocation. You know, the change in culture, language, and social circles and all that is taken into account by the courts, the different time zones, communication and that type of thing. So in an application, the court will deal fully with all of that. Mm-hmm. You know, the reason may be that the woman is, or the guy has met somebody in another country and wants to marry that other party and set up home there. It may be for work purposes. The person couldn't find work in South Africa and is moving on. Some circumstances, they say, to give the child a better schooling and a better option in growing up, in a better environment. You know, those are all aspects mm-hmm. that the court will take into account. That's what's going to be tested in an application and decided. And obviously, full psychological reports, family advocate involvement, and things like that. You know, the sad part is that one cannot avoid, you know, human migration. Mm, it's happening every day.
Yes.
I mean, and it's, you know, happened. It's normal, and normal and expected. So relocating a minor child is not something that's done, you know, exceptionally or something like that. Every day you hear people relocating. Every day you hear people coming into South Africa and that type of thing.
Mm.
So the court's role is to test the viewpoints of both parents and to establish why the person is going. Is it in the interest of the child and that type of thing? And, yeah, it's also very difficult, and it's difficult for the courts as well because, you know, it's the welfare of the child that is sorted. Mm. You may well have a child that's extremely close to the parent that it doesn't live with, sees that parent every day, and that little bit of trust has got to be broken in the sense that, you know, when you relocate to another country, it's too far away to see the child daily and that type of thing. But the court will summarize all of those little considerations and, you know, take into account when deciding what they're going to do. So if you really look at it, what the court will include in its assessment is one, where the person is going to, what the rules and that are in that country. Two, whether the relocation is in the best interest of the child. And, you know, in that regard, it must be a reasonable relocation and it must be bona fide. In other words, in good faith. You know, it mustn't be just to get away from the father. I don't want my child to see the father anymore, so I'm going to go to another country that's not good enough. And, you know, the court will take into account the breaking of the communication between the non-resident parent and the other parent. It will take into account the child's schooling. It will take into account the employment of the party moving. You know, is the party moving, got a job secured? Has it got family to go to? Has it got a home to live in? And that type of thing. Accommodation is very important to the courts when relocating, and education likewise. You know, the well-being of the child is very, very necessary to be taken into account. And of course, the court also takes into account little things like what contact with the child will the new parent have. I mean, you know, the time zone between Australia and South Africa, for example, is between 8 and 10 hours.
So, right, right.
You know, sometimes it's very difficult to communicate. I mean, you know, I know my children in Australia that you've got to wait, to, you know, you phone them at 8 o'clock in the evening and it's 6 o'clock in the morning when they're waking up there. So, you know, all of that is taken into account. Maintenance considerations will come into account. Can the other parents still afford to pay? You know, if you're paying a little sum of, say, maybe $2,000-$2,500 in South Africa and the parents going to Aussie, I mean, you know, it's almost 12 to 1. It means
the exchange rate.
Yeah. I mean, it's not even going to buy food or a cool drink or an ice cream, maybe. So the court will take into account all of that, as will the welfare that's involved, as will the family advocate. And it's important that all those legal requirements are satisfied correctly. So, you know, if you're going to go, make sure that you discuss it properly with the other spouse. Make sure that, you know, they know the reasons. You need to sit down and chat about it. Don't come a week beforehand and say, I'm going, because then you're going to find problems. You know, that's a thing. So if you just sum that up, then you're talking about the child's age, emotional and development needs that will be taken into account, the impact of the relocation on the child's relationship with the non-parent or non-living parent, the feasibility of maintaining contact between the child, the availability of education. So the court will zoom in, if I can say it like that, on the needs of the child. That's what they will consider seriously. And then, you know, take that into account before any sort of decision is made. So, and it's not something that's going to happen overnight. The court won't make a decision until it's happy that it has properly scrutinized and got all the information that it needs. Where you're wishing the court to make a decision in that regard, where the other parent is not cooperating. So be very careful there and make sure that you do it timeously. Otherwise, you're going to find your book tickets and you're leaving and you can't take your child with you.
And you can't take the child.
So basically what you've got to do, you know, if you know you're going, make sure you tell the other parent. Obtain the consent of that parent. You've got to get his consent to get the passport and everything into place, and be careful in that regard. If there's a little bit of a and not happy, go through mediation and negotiation. That's my advice to everybody. You know, mediation allows both parents to have their say and for somebody to have a look and give advice in that regard. Yes, do this. No, don't do that. It needs a little bit more time and that type of thing. Don't forget, mediation is not a final decision. So, you know, a recommendation that's made, and you need to sort that. Yes. If you don't come out of it with mediation, unfortunately, it's into court. It's costly. It's not a cheap situation, because there's got to be a detailed motivation put before the court. The other party will have the right to oppose it. You know, you've got to have your evidence, like we said earlier, of improved living conditions, better educational opportunities, maybe, and, of course, the emotional benefits of the child. And, you know, a parenting plan will then be put into place and sorted. So the opposition has a right to respond. It's not just a case of you put it in and the court makes a decision, yes, you can go. Unfortunately, there's an opposing affidavit that can come, and the family advocate is called in to assess the position and the circumstances and provide recommendations, which the court will follow. You know, the court's not going to say, oh, okay, this lady wants to go to Ireland, for example. She's got a job there. She's got a fiancé there, better living conditions and everything. Off you go. It's got to listen to the other side. You know, so many times people don't realize that you've got the rule to hear the other party. The other party always has a say. Unilateral decisions are not allowed in our, in our courts and in our country. The only time that the other party would be ignored, if it's found to be unreasonable. So relocation is a difficult thing. It's not easy. You know, every parent has a right to be heard. Every parent has a right to put up its opposition and that type of thing. And there are plenty of decisions in that regard. You know, the best interest of the child is what will prevail at the end of the day. The purpose of relocating will be taken into account, the situation, the relationship between the parents, the interests of the non-relocating parent, you know, the views of the child as well will be taken into account. One must be very careful in that regard as well. You know, the family advocate will interview the children. And any child that is of such an age that it can voice an opinion, you know, maturity and the stage development, and that will be taken into account. They will hear the child. Do you want to leave your dad behind? What is the situation? You know, obviously with relocation to another country, unfortunately, one of the parents is going to have that terrible thing called distance between them. You know, distance is a major problem. It's not a case of, you know, my child lives in Durban, I can hop on a plane tomorrow, 2 hours later, I'm with him. Unfortunately, your travel time all over the show is, you know, 10, 17, 24 hours. So it's not a case of, okay, let the child go. I've got access every second weekend. I can just pop over and see the child. Bit too far, bit too costly. So, you know, the court is very, very strict on the best interests of the child. And we'll take into account the relationship. I mean, often children live with their mother, but being a boy extremely close to the dad, a good little sportsman or something like that, or a good little musician, and, you know, does everything with dad, goes to dad every weekend. It's not an easy thing to separate the child from its father or in that regard. So those are terrible things that need to be taken into account, terrible factors, let me put it to you that way, when considering, you know, immigrating and leaving one parent behind. So that's where you've got to be so cautious and careful and make sure that it's really, really in the best interest of the child.
And that's obviously what the courts will take into account, as you've mentioned, you know, that the courts will look at that very, very thoroughly. But Peter, you know, without obviously divulging cases, but, you know, what are the trends, you know, where you've got a scenario, maybe mom's got custody, she's decided she's moving to Oz, dad thinks, no, wait, this is not a good idea because, you know, obviously, as we've discussed, what are the trends, if I can use that term? Obviously, each case on its merits, but the likelihoods of the court saying, yes, you can take the children, dad's still got to pay maintenance, fair enough. But how do they account for instance, the exchange rate? Does dad carry on paying the South African rand value that he was paying, and mom must take the knock from the exchange rate? It was her choice to go. Obviously, absolutely, very difficult.
Right. Yeah, unfortunately, you know, it's based on your income and expenditure in the country where you are.
Mm.
So, you know, you can't, I mean, the sad thing is that 100 rand, yeah, is and £100 or $100 in Australia are completely different things with the exchange rate. I think that our exchange rate with England and with the, you know, Britain at the moment is something like almost 24, 25
that's it
to 1. I mean, it's gone crazy.
Yeah,
Australia, yeah, I think, is 12-1. You know, I don't think there are many countries where we're on a par or anything like that. Maybe some African countries, but other than that, and I don't think we've got a benefit anywhere. So you can't say, you know, that you've got to give the child 100 rand, yeah, you must give the child 100 pounds.
Pounds, yes.
I mean, you know, somebody that can afford 100 rand can't afford all of a sudden 2,000 rand. You know, his income won't allow that.
Right.
So the court will take that into account. Obviously, a parent can't be ordered to pay in excess of what he can afford.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me pay what is reasonable and fair in the circumstances. And that's what it is. And, of course, one must also remember that if you bring an application for maintenance, it will be heard here in South Africa where the other party is. Let's just say that the mother immigrated to London or to Australia or to New Zealand, wherever. She can't lodge a complaint in New Zealand.
Yes, yes, she's got to lodge it here.
Yeah, but that big expense. So that's what the parent relocating must take into account as well. You know, where am I going? Can I afford to go there? You know, the maintenance that I'm receiving, is it going to be sufficient enough? And these are all the different factors that the court will consider. So, you know, like I say, you get the best interest of the child. There have been many cases like that. You know, you've got cases where the purpose of relocating is taken into account. Why are you leaving? Where are you going? You know, the interest of the relocating parent will be closely looked at. The interest of the non-relocating parent will also be looked at, you know. And like I mentioned, the relationship between the child, children, and its parents, very important, you know, both the mother and the father, not just one side and say, okay, the child's happy with the mother must be given custody, and the child must go. They will have a proper look at the relationship between the child and the other parent as well. You know, the non-resident parent. You know, the gendered nature of the roles, you know, in a divorced family that each of the parents play is also something that's taken into account. Does the father play a more important role in the child's upbringing, maybe the child's sport, maybe the child's cultural activities, religious activities, and things like that? And then, of course, like we said earlier, the view of the child is also something that will be considered.
Right.
You know, the child might say, no, I want to stay behind with daddy. I think you've got a problem then. You know, they're going to investigate.
Then they'll ask why, you know, and then
really show that it's not, you know, for the child to make a decision. Mm-hmm. You know, what you're doing for the child is in the child's interest. So they're all factors, and they're all very important factors. So relocating is not a simple thing. It's a difficult thing. Distance, like I mentioned, is a bugger.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, children are not a yo-yo.
That's it.
You know, roll them down from top to bottom like you do with a yo-yo.
I think that's probably the term that we must make as one of the terms for this show, as we did with Think Before You Ink. Children are not yo-yos. And I think that's something that parents must bear in mind, especially with the modern day and age. You know, you've got grandchildren overseas. You know how complicated that is. So you can just imagine, you multiply that by a factor. It just shows how complicated split families would become when you've got that ocean in between.
You know, absolutely. I was talking to a parent the other day, or not a parent, a grandparent the other day. He's commenting on me just coming back from seeing my grandkids and how I feel.
Mm.
And then he turned around to him and he said to me, you know, I've got 4 kids.
Mm.
And it's not as if they're together anymore.
Yeah.
One's in Australia, one's in England, one's in the United States, uh-huh. and the fourth one was in Mauritius. And you know, they said, they're all expensive trips.
Mm.
We miss the grandkids. We miss the kids. We were a close family.
Mm.
But it's just too far for everybody to go anywhere.
It's like around the world in 80 days.
Around the world in 80 days. And the sad thing is, it's just so costly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel so sorry for parents who just don't have an income sufficient enough to visit and that type of thing. I mean, you know, you get, there's no doubt that relationship between parents and kids and grandkids and that is a strong bond.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of families fight. All in all, it's normally quite a strong bond, and it's sad to see what distance can do.
It's indeed so. But as you say, children are not yo-yos. And Peter, thank you very much for the chat today. If somebody wants to reach you, how do they get in touch with Alums?
Okay, they'll get us on Facebook. If they just put an S on to Alums, Allams, to Alums, shall I say, and then they'll find it there. They'll find us on Wild Coast FM as well.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is all recorded there. We're situated at 6 Sansom Road in Vincent, East London, a little side street where Pep Stores is, number 6. Telephone 043-7211-018.
Great. Peter, thank you very much. Have a good week. Looking forward to chatting again next week, Monday.